Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number three of the program. Tennessee Vols baseball is rolling, and we're excited that baseball is back from a gambling standpoint as well. Of course, Major League Baseball happening almost, your team's playing almost every day. There's somebody playing every day, and you can bet it all with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel's letting new users swing for the fences, risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day in site credit if your same-game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way, you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. Make it happen with FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. You got great odds on all the different betting markets, unique fun bet types like the same game parlay, and always on promotions to let you get more out of the action every single game day.
I'm going to give a baseball lock.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
Take the over 9 runs in the Boston versus Minnesota game. That one actually pretty early. I think it's the first game of the day. Yeah, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. There you go, some afternoon wagering. Do it with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. We love it. You will too. Davey's been just rolling with the picks on FanDuel. And with baseball, games are coming all the time. So look for the bets and get your bets in.
I haven't really been giving baseball picks so far this year. We will adjust and get – I said I was going to wait a little bit. As far as giving multiple picks,
yep.
I want to get let the season kind of play itself out a little bit, get a better feel for some of these teams instead of just diving headfirst. For the Depot today, a lot of hockey picks. This weekend was not good, but I'm still up because I had such a great week last week. So
sounds good. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code 3OUT to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code 3OUT to let them know we sent you 3OUT. Put it in there. And get started with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and over present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789. Some baseball controversy I wanted to get into a little bit later, too. But first, we've got Philly on the phone lines, 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. What's up, Phil? You're on 3 and Out.
Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Philly.
Did y'all go to that scrimmage Saturday?
Nope.
Did not.
Well, I understand the defense is not too hot, so all this great offense we're supposed to have, I guess we're going to outscore everybody, right?
That's the goal. Got to outscore them if you want to win.
Yeah, well, poor old Bruce Pearl's, doing it to us again, and it's pretty cool, you know?
Nah, he hasn't done anything yet. He just, we're after the same guy. We'll see what happens.
Well, he got Jabari Smith, who he thought he was going to get. And then supposedly the NCAA is going to hit him at any time, but it hadn't happened yet. So, pretty cool.
Yeah, very neat. Yeah.
It's amazing how they can recruit with that cloud over my cap, but I guess, more power to them, I guess.
I mean, they seem to be out of the woods on that front, though, right, Philly?
No, he's not out of the woods yet.
Okay.
But all honesty, our recruiting, I don't understand how we can't, out of all the post players that are out there, we can't come up with a couple of them.
Well, it's early. I mean, I know we've talked about a few names here and there, but I don't think many of them that we've been after have made their decision, have they?
Well, you got the Hatfield guy out there. Yeah, and they'll probably lead for him. And the kids from Charlotte, who's, what, 6'11", 7 foot, Madu or something like that.
That's a new one on me.
He's a decommit from Marquette, who the assistant coach we're supposed to hire, who recruited him.
Gotcha. Okay.
Supposedly that's another one. But B.J. Edwards, I don't know where all this reclassification of B.J. Edwards is coming from. That's not true.
He's not a reclassification option?
No, he's not.
Hmm.
Never has been, never will be. Now, Tomba is a different story, but I still don't understand why they're going after Tomba. He's not ready. But more power to him, I guess.
No,
it shows you how bad their
perfect
recruiting
sense. It is a project. I mean, that's perfect for Rick Barnes.
Got to develop him, you know?
Why can't he stay in high school and be developed another year instead of going over and sitting on the bench and being developed and with their crummy development?
Sheesh.
Don't be so harsh now, Phil.
Trying to get him in a collegiate program. Get him in the weight room a year earlier. Or something.
Well, I mean, Kyle Alexander, he's very similar to Kyle Alexander.
Right, and, right.
Kyle Alexander plays a freshman, but it'd been better off if he had redshirted. But
yeah. Was that the goal for him? Didn't they want to redshirt him and then just kind of forced in there?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Well, you look at the last four recruiting classes at Tennessee in basketball. What do we have to show for it now?
The last four classes?
See, the three or four. Not counting what we got coming in, this current one, the last, the ballyhoo, the top five class is gone now. And then the ones before that were even more, they were terrible because we got nothing out of those two classes. You had DJ Burns and all that bunch, and then Zach Kent. I mean, it's just And then look what we got left. We got Calma left. We got Plavich left. And you have Vescovi and Bailey and Triple J. And none of them are SEC players. I guess the best of that bunch is probably Triple J. And he's, what, an average role player?
I mean, he is a five-star, so.
Yeah, he was. But
I'd say when he's healthy, I'd say above average role player. But, yeah, not a superstar or anything.
I mean, he can't score.
So that means
to
totally redo this roster, which they're up. Guard play don't look too bad what they brought in, but they've got to have something inside, or we're going to be left behind in SEC.
Yeah, I mean that's just the name of the game. I mean, I think there's a chance it'd be a long shot that Kumwa develops enough, but no, they've got to go get two more bigs.
You basically haven't had a good class since.
At least one if Fulkerson doesn't come back, does come back.
So are you saying you haven't really had a class that's done anything since 2016? Which was
really,
Bone, Williams, and Fulkerson.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard to argue.
And you had Lamonte Turner redshirt, and I don't. But that was the.
That was the one before, yeah. And
yeah,
Schofield.
And that was Donnie Tindall, and of course Donnie Tindall got him Admiral Schofield.
That's true.
So his recruiting has not been very good at all since he's been here, which is very perplexing to me. Especially when you had them two good seasons to play that to recruiting and then really materialize except for getting Springer and Keon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got Josiah Jordan James, but like you said,
okay.
All
right. There's 3 5-stars.
But
now you've got Kenny Chandler coming in. He's got to have something. He's going to make a run the next year to Kenny Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Kenny Chandler's one and done, Phil?
I don't know. You would say he's not.
Probably not.
You'd at least be to him, then. But I don't. Well, at least, I don't know. All honesty, guys, Jaden Springer and Keon are as good as Juwan Smith and Chris Lofton as college players, but they're going to go to the NBA. I just don't understand it myself.
It's all about potential.
Do you see the potential in both of them?
I see it in Keon.
Yeah, he does have upside. But 10 turnovers a game, I don't, Even the NBA ain't going to play people to do that, are they?
I am worried about Jaden's bully ball mentality. That's not going to translate well, in my opinion.
What do you mean bully ball mentality?
He just always tries to drive in and just, like, overpower whoever's in the lane against him. It's once he gets up against better competition, it's not gonna work well for him.
I mean, they got to learn to shoot. They learn to make shots.
Yeah.
So we're a baseball school now? That's pretty cool, isn't it?
I would say, like, Jaden tries season. To play like Zion. Like, the always the drive in there and just try to overpower whenever he's going to go up in the paint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when does the seat start getting warm, Philly? Coach Barnes?
I'm afraid we're in a no-win situation where he's just going to cruise out till he retires, and hopefully he'll have enough talent over here where it won't be a major rebuild.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me, don't you?
Yeah, but it kind of feels like basketball programs have to rebuild every year now. So at whatever point Rick Barnes leaves, whether that means he goes a couple more years and even if he has a good season his last year and is like, okay, guys, I'm just kind of tired of coaching. I'm going to retire. Feel like I got Tennessee at least back on firm footing. You guys take it from here. Or whether things kind of go poorly at some point and then he's like rides off that way or something. I feel like whoever comes in, I mean, they're still going to probably have most of their guys that aren't his guys transfer out, and he's going to have to bring in his guys. So I don't know that. I think maybe you just want to make sure when Rick Barnes leaves, whatever that looks like, that the brand Tennessee basketball looks pretty good. It's pretty polished up, and that players think it's kind of big time, because then whatever coach you get, hopefully that guy kind of fits the brand, and he can then bring in his guys or bring in transfers and recruits, and you can just kind of get it going.
Well, this year I think I would honestly rather have a higher rating whenever it comes to getting guys out of the transfer portal than the recruits just coming straight out of high school. I know that kind of goes hand in hand when you're looking at the rankings, but there is a way you can separate it. And I there's just so many transfers in the portal with how the NCAA is allowing things to happen. I'd just rather get better transfers than kids coming out of high school this year.
Why don't they get that guy from Texas Tech come here? We can't recruit bigs. Why don't we just go all the way small ball, play four guards?
Yeah.
I thought they should have made a better run at him last time, but they got a second chance.
I'll probably go to Auburn. See
you. Yeah, I think Philly was referring to originally at the beginning of his call, Jonas Idu, four-star big man out of Charlotte, North Carolina. 6'11", 215.
That's Rick's backyard.
Tennessee was among his final schools when he originally committed to Marquette. However, after the firing of Woj and hiring of Shaka Smart, he decommitted from Marquette, reopened his recruiting, and he has picked up offers from West Virginia and Oklahoma in the meantime.
That tells me, okay, what that tells me right there, that he's decommitting from decommitting from Marquette because of Shaka, he does not want to play fast. If you look at Shaka, I mean, it's all up in your face. And then you said that he got Oklahoma and West Virginia. I know that they've got Press Virginia, but you got to remember Porter Moser, his pace is super slow. And so now that he's at Oklahoma, I look to see them kind of adopt that style of play a little bit more. I haven't watched this guy's tape, but just from the schools that are after him and the style of play, it doesn't seem like he's wanting to be a run-and-gun type guy. So, Tennessee, come on down.
Come on down.
There you
where
go.
We play slow. Neat.
Speaking of Auburn, they're going to have – if they get Walker Kessler, they'll have Jabari Smith, who's 6'10", five-star, and Walker Kessler. That'll be fun matchups.
I'm going to disagree.
We'll come back.
I'm going to disagree with you on that.
Are
you ready for the Depot today? Are we ready?
It's Depot next. Depot next. It's that time of the day of the week. I need a sponsor for this. You want to sponsor the Depot, hit us up.
I really wonder who would hit us up for that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's off-season radio here in another month or so after our spring practice and our incredible baseball team hopefully brings home a national championship. It's Davey. It's the Depot. It is the Davey Depot. Davey Hudson, take it away.
I hope everyone is off to a great week so far on this Monday morning. My fact of the day, the first person convicted of speeding was going 8 miles per hour.
I love it.
That's a funny one. That's a good just around the room icebreaker question. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, eight? Apparently.
Eight?
Eight, yeah. This is, according to the Guinness World Records, the first person to be charged with speeding was Walter Arnold of the English village of Paddock Wood, Kent. On January the 28th, 1896, Arnold was spotted going four times the speed limit in his 19th century Benz. But since the speed limit at the time was just 2 miles per hour, that meant he was not going too fast by today's standards. Yeah. The constable had to chase him down on his bicycle.
You can go faster than 8 miles an hour on a bicycle.
I know.
So why was it 2 miles an hour?
I don't know.
Scared of the automobile speed.
Horses are faster than 2 miles an hour. They have a speed limit for horses.
When the car first came out, they were worried that, they weren't sure if the body. They're like, if these cars get faster than like a horse, will the body like be able to handle just traveling through the air at high speeds? You know.
Mm. I do know that when people first started driving cars, they tried to make it stop by yelling, whoa. Mm,
yeah.
Didn't know that there was a brake pedal. Just whoa, just whoa.
Because it's activated.
Like a horse. Didn't know what to do. Banger of the day.
The banger of today is one of my favorite songs, but it is All These Things That I've Done by The Killers. I don't have that for bumper later on, but just so you know.
Okay.
It's on the same album as Mr. Brightside. I think we were talking about that a couple weeks ago.
Mm. Yeah.
Typing it in here. I'm trying to think. You know, gambling update. That's what I wanted to get to next, you know.
Yeah.
Really on my P's and Q's this morning. I mean, we're still doing really well over the last week, even though this weekend was a bit of a letdown. Just some games, just brr. But other things. Is that your mic's picking up some feedback? I don't like that. There we go.
I'm sorry.
So my one pick for today in the gambling. Toronto, money line. They're playing Montreal.
Hey, Nate.
The Leafs have been
Nate, this is
playing,
what it's like when you're gone.
The Leafs have been playing really well. I expect them to continue their run. I think they're 9-0-1 in their last 10 matchups. And definitely had a little bit of a struggle halfway through the season, but they really picked it back up. I expect them to continue. I was able to get them at -130. So, Toronto, that game's at 7 o'clock. Will be interesting to see kind of what happens. I mean, in the NHL right now, like, the Vancouver has just been ate up with COVID, you know? Apparently had, like, four guys with, like, the Brazilian strain. And I couldn't tell you the last time they've played.
That one's, like, the worst one right now, isn't it?
That's the one they know the least about? According to science, you know? Big science guy.
Well, at least they don't have to keep wiping down all their hard surfaces.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
CDC?
Oh, the CDC said that virus transmission from like surfaces to surfaces are basically non-existent.
Oh, I also saw a headline. I didn't read the article, but it's 2021. That's usually how things go. But apparently, one study has found that the COVID vaccine can be passed from mother to child through breastfeeding.
The vaccine?
Yes.
Oh, that's actually very interesting.
So I'm assuming they'll be doing more studies on that note.
Yeah, that would be a big one to be sure about.
Like, what age is the cutoff, though, you know? Where the mom's like, well, we weren't doing it, but it'll save us some money. So it's like, he's three. Sure, why not?
Save him some money?
Yeah, you don't have to go pay for the vaccine.
Am I missing something here?
You can't just start breastfeeding out of the blue, like, once you've stopped.
How much is the vaccine? I thought they were just doing it.
Yeah, I thought like free or I don't know.
I thought it was free.
Covers it or whatever. I don't know.
It's free.
Saving some money, gas money, fare the travel. To the,
to
there you go.
Breastfeed your 3-year-old after you haven't been breastfeeding for a couple years.
What if you've got like a 22-year-old son and a newborn, and you never mind.
You went that far. I was keeping it like at the toddler age. You're going full blown adult. A movie review for today. At some point, I got to get to No Country for Old Men.
Yep, listener submission.
But I tried to actually watch it last night since it had been so long, even though the review is supposed to just be something I haven't seen in forever. But I really can't remember that much about the movie. It had been so long. But
those are usually the best ones.
Yeah, but I had to have a subscription. I tried to watch it, but apparently on Hulu, it's like an add-on feature. And I was like, I'm not spending all that paper money. So today I am going to be doing the Netflix film In the Shadow of the Moon.
Mm.
I would bet not many people have seen this film.
I have not seen this film.
Came out in 2019.
Me either.
But it stars my boy Boyd Holbrook. Big Boyd Holbrook fan. If you've ever watched Narcos, he's the main character alongside Pedro Pascal in that. And he also was in the film Logan. Which, Logan, on a tangent, my favorite X-Men film, and really, like, outside of, it's up there, it's like, since they're technically Marvel, like, it's definitely a top three film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe for me. I thought it was an incredible send-off for Hugh Jackman, and so, Boyd, I'm interested to see what he does next, but yeah, this film, In the Shadow of the Moon, came out in 2019. And so this film, we started off, the year is 1988, and okay. Boyd Holbrook is just a cop for the Philadelphia Police Department, and his wife is extremely pregnant, and he gets called out, he's going to work, he's like working the graveyard shift, and what has happened is all these people around town just start randomly dying, but when they're dying, like, there's blood coming out of their eyes, their ears, like, I mean, like, it is just every
gruesome.
Crevice. Yeah, it's, there's blood coming out. And so all these cops are kind of investigating, like, what is happening. One woman was driving a bus, and she actually goes back to our Tiger Woods story. Her foot just actually goes all the way down on the accelerator, and she crashes eventually, but she had to basically flip the bus to get it to stop. But of course, there's a bunch of people on the bus screaming, like, ah. And so.
Is that exactly what they said? Was that a direct quote?
Nah, it wasn't direct, but you get the idea. Mm-hmm. And so while Boyd Holbrook's character shows up, his name's Thomas Lockhart in the film, Officer Thomas Lockhart, Tom Lockhart. So he shows up, and his brother-in-law is actually a detective. And so he kind of gets a little preferential treatment, like a cop usually wouldn't be there, but because it's his brother-in-law, he's like, all right, you get 5 minutes, whatever. But he finds these like three dots in like a triangle figure on the back of the neck of the bus driver. And it turns out that everyone else who died also had that same marking, and it was like a puncture wound. But then they get a call, and there is one woman who is still alive. And she's like, yeah, this girl just came up and basically injected me with something, stabbed me in the back of the neck. And, of course, in the middle of them talking to this girl, she just starts bleeding everywhere, and she ultimately dies. But they get a reading. They got a description, so they start bringing all these people in, and they actually find this girl, and she starts running. And so Officer Lockhart chases her into a subway station, and they get into a fight, and at some point, while he's investigating, finding her, he finds this device, and he presses a button, and of course, like, these three needles come out, and they're like, oh, this is the device he was using she was using to stab people. And so when she is about to run away after she has managed to get the upper hand on Officer Lockhart, he grabs that device and, like, stabs her in the leg with it. And she, of course, at that moment, like, stumbles, falls right into a coming train, and the subway just destroys her. So she's dead. And sad news, his wife goes into labor but the placenta ruptures and she dies giving childbirth. The baby's okay, but so now he is left to raise this child alone. Fortunately, though, brother-in-law is there, him and his wife, so they kind of help out. But then we flash forward 10 years. And so they still never were able to close the case exactly. They thought they were, but they think there's a copycat killer on the loose now. And they're finding the puncture wounds and more victims. And so Lockhart's chasing down all these leads. And once again, this girl, while they're at an airfield, she gets the upper hand on him, actually kills his partner, and puts him in a plane. And as the plane's going over water, she tells him a bunch of stuff. She knows a lot of things about his life. And what do you mean you don't recognize it at all from my review, Janeway? I've seen this movie. I don't recognize it. I'm telling you what's happening. And so, so she kicks him out of the plane. Then they flash forward to the next morning, and the plane's destroyed. Parts of it are still on fire. And it turns out that she's gone. They can't find her. They don't know, but he's like, I thought this woman was dead, whatever. And so basically he just starts going down this path to where it just flashes every 10 years. And there at one point this scientist of some sort tries to talk to him.
Technical term.
Listen, there's this lunar abnormality where when the moon's at this place in time, basically it's kind of there's this time travel element. But you can only go back in time every 10 years whenever the moon's at this certain point and it opens up a new realm, something along those lines. And so, but long story short, he ends up finding out that this woman has gone back in time to basically kill all these people that were part of this militia group that were going to lead to the destruction of the United States. And but it turns out the girl is...
Antifa?
I think it's a white supremacist group. Mm. And I'll kind of leave the review at that without spoiling the rest of the film, even though it's not normally my style. Mm. But... I liked the movie. It was a good storyline, in my opinion. And I thought Holbrook did a really good job. But then again, I like him a lot. I can't really name anything he's been bad at.
How many thumbs up?
It gets 1 1/4 thumbs up.
And you're not going to give the ending? I thought you only didn't spoil the 2 thumb up.
It just depends on the mood of the day, you know?
Okay. So you checked out during the David Depot is what you're telling me.
Pretty much.
You're just done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are you going to do? We done here? We got anything else? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm good.
Okay. Hang on. Let me wake Nate up. Nate.
I'm just really confused because there's an article saying that Missouri State won the Missouri Valley Football Conference Championship.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least somewhat notable because Bobby Petrino is their coach.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm over here on FCS Spring Football Bracketology, and it says that, I just said Missouri Valley, right? It says that North Dakota State and South Dakota State will play each other for the Missouri Valley in a likely seed. Is that not the same? I'm really confused here.
You're not the only one.
Do you see Eddie George got hired by Tennessee State?
Somebody's Missouri Valley Football Conference, and then says, I didn't think, I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Did you listen to the Depot?
No.
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
For the Depot?
Yeah.
Oof. I'll save that for my review later.
We'll come back with more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Nate's heated.
FCS football's a mess, Houston.
Well.
I do have it figured out, though, in the Missouri Valley.
Good. I'm glad.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure?
More of an Ohio Valley guy, but okay.
Hit me with it.
I don't
The people need to know.
I don't know why, but that's funny, Davey. That was actually funny. Okay, so in the Missouri Valley, Bobby Petrino did finish the conference record 5-1, which makes their overall record for the season 5-4,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty interesting because they actually played in the fall. They lost to Oklahoma.
Gotcha.
48-0. And they lost two games to Central Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure I watched one of those.
Okay.
Remember when Central Arkansas was playing everybody at the start of the football year? It's like, what's up with this team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
COVID and all that.
COVID.
All these FCS schools are like, we'll just play in the spring. That'll be so much better. It's been much, much
worse. It's been a lot worse.
It's a clown show. It's just, so I went over to the FCS bracketology. So Missouri State, where Petrino is, they finished 5-1. That's going to be good enough for a share of the Missouri Valley Conference Championship. Problem is they're in the same conference with North Dakota State and South Dakota State,
mm-hmm.
who play this weekend, and the winner is going to get the automatic bid, and the other is going to get an at-large. And Missouri State is probably going to be on the outside looking in of the playoffs. So I was looking at some of the other the bids, you know, the bracketology, who's the automatic bids, and the other,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, Southern Conference, all right. VMI is projected to win the conference. Haven't clinched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're 5-1 in the SoCon. And I'm looking, so I pull up the standings. It's like, oh, Chattanooga's only got one loss. So they're right there in it. VMI loses, maybe. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Chattanooga's only played 4 games. And I look down at the bottom. Chattanooga opted out of the remainder of the season on March 29th.
Sad. Hmm.
What happened to the Mocs? It could have gotten a bit. Could have made the playoffs.
Could have been a contender.
Underneath that, Wofford opted out of the remainder of the season on April 5th. That was going to be our coordinator, right?
What?
When the Wofford coach and the running one of our coordinator jobs or something?
What's his name?
I don't remember.
Mm. That sounds right.
Defensive coordinator, right? It was the Wofford head coach was in the running for our defensive coordinator position. Wofford was 1-4, though, so they probably was like, man, we're losing. Let's just get out. Let's just end this. That was this past week. So now I don't know what's going on.
Josh Conklin.
There you go.
Mm.
Mercer's 5-2. ETSU's 4-2. Does ETSU have a shot? If VMI loses, like I don't know what the deal is. There's an automatic bid up for grabs in the Southern Conference. Maybe ETSU has a shot. It's a mess, man. It's a good thing these teams. I mean, how many SEC teams opted out this season?
0.
Yeah. Southern Conference, 2.
Did Vanderbilt go winless? So they kind of opted out?
I mean,
just saying.
They missed. I mean, there were a couple games missed that never got made up, mm-hmm. right? But, I mean, basically, the whole let's play football in the spring was a disaster.
Yes.
I just wish people. I mean, I guess people have. I don't know. I just feel like it's worth bringing up. 3-and-out was right.
Mm.
Blue checks and others wrong.
Yeah.
No way we play college football. It was pretty much fine.
Yeah, a couple canceled games.
We
postponed
should move it
games.
To the spring. Move it to the spring.
Having all kinds of issues.
I kind of wish our season was canceled.
Yeah, then we might still have Pruitt.
Yeah, I'm glad we got it over. It was good, actually, looking back, to go ahead and have the season and get rid of Pruitt in a weird year anyway. So now we got a new coach. We can move forward. So I don't know. I FCS football. I even tried to get into it. Remember when I tried to get into it? No. Good. It's a mess.
Yeah, it's too much cancellation, too much unknown, really.
And they have a 16-team playoff? That's just for this year, right? Because they usually have like 24 now, I thought. But maybe it's because so many teams opted out. They just
could be
truncated it this year. Just a whole
it's a mess.
Mess.
It's a big mess.
Somebody wanted us, I don't remember who it was, to talk about the full stadiums, though, at Ole Miss and Texas
Rangers. Looked like people were having a great time.
Well, even the Masters, you know, I was thinking, they show the shots all during the week, and everybody's kind of spread out a little more or whatever. But by the time you got to 18 on Sunday,
it was packed.
It was packed in.
Not everyone had their mask on either.
Because everyone's going to come to 18 for the final
Absolutely.
Shots.
Absolutely.
It's such a dog and pony show. I love how, I don't know, it gets me where I know people that have had COVID and they've gotten vaccinated, and there are institutions that still want them to wear a mask.
Right.
I'm like, what? Like, that basically...
Well, Fauci said even after he got the vaccination, he'd still wear a mask.
But that basically means, like, you might as well just mask yourself the rest of your life. Because even if it's not for COVID, I'm
some
sure
some people are so ugly they should.
Sorry. Oof. I mean, even if it's not for that, like, aren't you more likely to catch something else and die than to get COVID and die if you've had the disease already, not died, and gotten vaccinated? So, like, if you're going to wear a mask after being vaccinated and having COVID and survived, then you probably should, if that's your threshold of safety, then you probably just need to wear a mask all the time. Which makes no sense, because we didn't wear masks before COVID. So are we just weaker now? Are we just weaker mentally? Like, so that just makes us feel better? Is it a, you know, the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, and you shared the good news kind of in passing during the Depot. Don't have to worry about wiping down the old table here.
All that money you spent on Clorox.
It's more the
wipes,
time running around town trying to find some. Standing in line at the Dollar General, only place I had them one time. You had the limits and the
hand sanitizer. People have to be furious though.
How's the toilet paper industry going now?
It's fine. Booming.
Still.
They probably made too much now.
You never can have too much, really.
Yeah, their investors are just like, you guys did so well this last quarter. Like, you can't keep it up now.
Well, they could slow production now and just sell what they have. It's not like it goes bad. Assuming there's less of a need, but I don't know. All right.
The toilet paper thing never did make sense.
If you don't want to run out.
I mean, hand sanitizer made sense.
Well, we thought it made sense.
Right.
It actually did.
No, it still did. I mean, because, you know, shaking hands and, like,
but it's surface to surface. So they said it basically is not how it works.
Well, I think they were talking about hard surfaces. Like, if I rub my nose and shake hands with you, and then you touch your face.
Shaking babies and kissing hands.
That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My roommate got Angel Soft toilet paper after we had Charmin. Such a downgrade.
Got the check. Which one was better?
Charmin.
Got the check, Charmin. Alex will endorse it.
He'll call you after the show. Set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe they'll sponsor Davies Depot.
Because it's a bleep show. Humongous weekend coming up for Tennessee baseball. I guess I should check on this. But the way they were doing the... I don't think they've made any changes to the NCAA baseball format, have they, for COVID year or anything?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, typically it's... There's 8 national seeds. And you want to be... And they host regionals along with 8 other teams that host regionals. They're just picked as hosts, but they're not seeded. So if you're one of the top 8 national seeds and you win your regional, then you're automatically going to host the super regional, obviously.
Actually, they said that it's going to be predetermined now.
Oh, they did, didn't they?
Yep. So
the locations.
So who knows?
That's stupid.
Yeah. So
why does that even matter? Like, it's the same amount of places. Like Tennessee can't clean better than Vanderbilt? Or
it could have to do with local restrictions, local guidelines. Yeah. Like Ole Miss being completely open stadium, they might say, nope, we're not doing that, not going there. Hypothetically,
yeah,
I don't know.
But typically then, obviously in the super regionals, there's 16 teams. It kind of makes sense the way they're doing it now, because you got the regional, which is the 4-team double elimination format.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go play a best 2 out of 3 super regional. If you win that, then you go to the College World Series where you play. There's 2 pods of 4-team double elimination formats, and then those 2 teams will play back in the best 2 out of 3 format for the national championship. So they're just going to pick eight sites, predetermined.
Sounds like it.
And then whoever comes out, the 16 teams that come out of there, is it still going to be bracketed, I guess?
Yeah, it'd be bracketed. And then I guess they'd have other sites ready for, I don't know. It's all a mess.
I mean, I wish they'd reseed it, too, when they go to the Supers. Then that'd make the most sense. And reseed it going into Omaha. That way you'd have two balanced sides.
Wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we get far enough to where we have to worry about that kind of stuff.
I hope so.
How much are flights to Omaha? And what will fan capacity be there? There's probably no chance we could even go if we wanted to, is there?
It's Nebraska. I think we'd be all right.
No, I'm saying the NCAA may not, you know, allow
tickets and lunch. Yeah.
Man.
I don't know. I think they'd get a lot of pushback from the city just because, I mean,
yeah, the whole point
not
of them,
a whole lot going on there. Like,
no, the whole point of them hosting it year after year is because it's a big draw for the city of Omaha. I'm sure last year that was devastating to not have any college baseball season, no World Series, no nothing. If I'm Omaha, I'm battling as hard as I can to get, you know, 50% capacity instead of, you know, 25 or 15 or whatever. Absolutely. Did you see the tweet? There's some college baseball fan account just loves the game and said Tennessee fans discovering and caring about college baseball might be the scariest thing to happen to the sport in the last 20 years.
And then they caught a bunch of heat for it, and they're like, no, I'm for it.
No, I took that as we love this. This is awesome.
Yeah, but apparently some people didn't understand. Probably the, you know, Vol for Life.
Yeah, it's Tennessee fans that we're a little touchy when people come after our team. But, I mean,
we had a student section for our baseball team in high school, and when that got going, that was fun.
I mean, I would love to see Lindsey Nelson full capacity for this Vanderbilt series. It would be a melee, especially that Friday night game. It'd be awesome because Tennessee fans are starting to really fall in love with this team. And unlike, just a few years ago,
for a winner, man.
You can actually watch them. You can stream the games, and now we're going to be on ESPNU Friday night. I mean, thank God for something. No, Dave, you're absolutely right. We've been so winning-deprived and championship-level play-deprived that this team gives you that hope. I don't know if they're going to get there. I don't know how good they really are. But they swept LSU. They took a series against Florida. They've won all four series so far. They're fun to watch. They're entertaining. They're fiery, energetic.
Is the squirrel still a thing?
I have not seen the squirrel this year, so I don't know. I thought that was a football thing.
Anywhere, the baseball player had the squirrel. There's a different squirrel that you're thinking of.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know about the squirrel. Got no idea. Haven't heard about the baseball squirrel. What does he do?
Hangs out with one of the players.
Huh. All right. Did you see the pink hat you get to wear if you hit a home run for the baseball team? Mm-hmm. It says Daddy on it. It's the Call Me Daddy podcast hat.
I described this on Friday.
No, I know. I'm just asking if Dave watched any of the games.
You talked about that on Friday?
Got to watch Connor. Yeah, see, exactly. Got to watch Pavloni put it on. I think that was off the air, Alex, in fairness. Which is actually surprising because Davey actually
used
it.
No, it was on the air.
Was it? Okay.
Because I remember myself struggling through it.
Mm.
So to wrap this up, is Tennessee going to apply to be one of the 16 regional hosts? Because apparently the way the NCAA is going to decide who gets to host is you apply – you show them how you're going to do all your COVID testing and everything, and your team needs to be good too. So the fact like Tennessee winning like in the season is important to get, you know, to be a host, not only for the regionals but the super regionals too.
Mm-hmm. Flights to Omaha round trip as low as $224 in the month of May.
Or is the UT athletic department going to like blow it, forget to turn in the paperwork, or you know, do something stupid like they normally do?
We do wait pretty long on the appeal process. Yep. Maybe. Mm-hmm. We're still waiting on that NCAA investigation, too. So
they better hurry. The bid portal opened on Monday, March 29th.
Surely Danny White submitted.
The
Come
deadline
on.
To submit bids is today.
Who knows? The bodies might be buried under the turf at Lindsey Nelson.
That was a former thing. I don't know where that came from, Alex.